Matt Deneef isn't a hunter in the traditional sense of the word, but he still spends most weekends out hunting in regional Victoria. Hunting down mountains, that is, mountains that he climbs on his bicycle. Matt Smith finds out why.
Any type of riding you do, you're going to come across hills. You know, whether that's in the city, little short rises out of the city, or here at the Dangnongs where you've got longer climbs. I guess climbing is a real part of it, but the difference here is that I actually seek out the climbs. So rather than seeing a climb as something I just have to get over to get to the next thing, I really enjoy it. I come out here to the Dangnongs often specifically to try out the hills. And there's a number of fantastic climbs around here that you can test yourself on. And really that's what it's about. It's about the challenge of coming up against something that is difficult and pushing through that, you know, that feeling of satisfaction at the end is what it's all about.
So is climbing popular amongst cyclists?
Yeah, it definitely is. And you might have seen on our way out here this morning, we've passed a lot of cyclists, especially coming up towards the basin. And the Dangnongs is a very popular spot to ride here in Melbourne for the simple reason that it's quite close to Melbourne and there are a number of great climbs to do. We're right at the foothills of the Dangnong Ranges here. So if you look up the hill that way, you might be able to see the Dangnongs. We're going to be heading up there today. I'm going to join the bike and see how you go up one of the most popular climbs in Melbourne.
And what is the climb?
It's a climb that's called the 1 in 20. As I said, one of the most popular climbs here in Melbourne. It's about 7 kilometres long. It's not too steep, but it's a very popular climb for the simple reason that it's quite simple and you can go quite hard on it. So for a lot of the cycling clubs, they'll come out here and use the 1 in 20 as a training ground. So do time trials up here, see who's fastest. And really, for a lot of cyclists, this is where they can gauge their improvement, their performance. So, you know, if they've shaved a bit of time off their 1 in 20 climb, they know they're in a good position. So
what's a good 1 in 20 time then?
It really depends on, I guess, the strength of the rider, but anything under 20 minutes is definitely respectable. A-grade riders here, so the strongest, I guess, amateur riders will probably do this in about 14 minutes, 14 and a half minutes. That's a very strong time. I think if you got somebody like Cadell Evans out here and told him to go, you know, full bore at this climb, he'd probably do it in a little under 13 minutes, 12, 13 minutes. That'd be my guess. But look, if we just get up it today, I think that'll be a victory and give you a bit of a taste for what climbing's all about.
What's the sort of thing that you look for in a standard bike for climbing?
Well, I guess the most important thing is the gear ratios at the back. So you can see there at the back of the bike, we've got a number of gears. The bigger gears here with the more teeth at the end there, they're the ones you want to look for. So, and the bigger that last cog is, the easier you're going to find it on the steeper climbs. So
yeah,
this one's got 26 teeth at the back, which is probably standard. And you can get ones that go all the way up to 29, 30, even 32 teeth for the really steep climbs. So
really, the sort of bike that you have and the condition that it's in counts quite a lot towards the sort of success that you'll have when you're doing serious climbing cycling.
I guess so. I mean, the bike you're looking at here is an entry-level road bike. It probably cost about $900 when I got it and ended up doing 10,000 kilometres on it, which is a fair bit. But if you ask most cyclists, this is probably not that good a quality bike in terms of what you can definitely buy. And you can spend anywhere up to $10,000-$15,000 on a road bike.
That's more than my car, but okay, I'll be fine with this one, thanks. So I will add a few kilometres to your 10,000 and hopefully I will do it justice. Strapping on my helmet and mounting the bike, with all the coordination of a newborn deer learning to walk, I pedalled with Matt Deneef to the start point of the 1 in 20. So I can see start painted across the street here. I guess this is the start of the climb?
Sure is, yep, that's right. From that start line, it's just under 7Ks to the top.
And is there anything I need to know about the road before I set off?
Yeah, I guess it's important to know that this is definitely a shared road, so it does see quite a lot of road traffic, a lot of cars and a few buses as well. So just be sure to stay to the left as much as you can. And if you do come across to the right, just make sure that you're checking behind you to see if there's anyone there.
Okay, so we're going to join this wagon train of cyclists. Look at that, there's a constant stream of lycra-dressed people struggling up a hill. Let's go.
Let's do it. How does it feel?
Yeah, I've done easier things. It was a bit discouraging when that 7-year-old girl just cruised past me on her bike with streamers on the handlebars and I ate her dust.
I'm not sure that happened.
look, it happened in my mind. So we're not halfway yet, are we?
We're not. Let's keep going. It's about a kilometre to the False Flat, so about a kilometre and a half of flat road.
Judging by the name, though, False Flats, it's not actually flat. You're just telling me that so that I'll keep going.
It's almost flat.
Right.
Almost.
The Dandenongs are a picturesque place to ride through. A small trip east of Melbourne, it's hard not to admire the expansive bushland as you pedal your way uphill.
Okay, so we're at the top. That was fun. That was fun.
I don't believe you for a second.
Did I do okay? Did I do as well as you expected me to, or about right, worse, less?
No, you did well. Did well, absolutely. I mean, just getting through a climb like that when you don't do much riding is a fantastic effort.
Yeah, it's the most serious I've taken riding. How about my complaint level?
It was about as much as I expected
Well. Yeah, yeah. I liked how the fifth or sixth time I stopped, a woman actually stopped and said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, I'm fine. I'm just unfit." Which kind of describes the whole ride. So why is that ride called the 1 in 20?
It refers to the gradient of the road. So for every 20 metres that we travel horizontally, we climb 1 metre vertically. So that corresponds to about 4 or 5% gradient, which is roughly what that road is.
That sort of thing is important in climbing trails, isn't it, for measuring the hardness of the climb that you're on?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, the steeper the climb, the harder you have to work to drag your body up it. And when you're climbing, it really does become a fight against gravity. So the heavier you are, the harder it is to climb. So if you tune in and watch the Tour de France, for example, you'll see all the best climbers are tiny, really tiny guys. There's less mass, so it's easier for them to drag themselves up the hill.
Yes, the words drag and fight against gravity were very appropriate for our trip just then. Is this a good climb? Is it demonstrative of other climbs in Victoria then?
It's probably a rather simple climb in the sense that it's not too steep. A gradient of 1 in 20 is quite simple. There are a lot longer climbs in Victoria and a lot steeper ones as well. I'm thinking of climbs in the Alps like Mount Hotham, for example, Mount Buller, Falls Creek. All of the great ski resorts up there are great cycling climbs when it's warmer. So, for example, Mount Hotham is about 30 kilometres long. You're climbing for most of it at a gradient about the same as the 1 in 20. So it's a completely different level of climbing.
Now, you've been writing about cycling experiences on your website, theclimbingcyclist.com. Why did you start to write about it?
It actually started as a university assignment. We had to create a website that covered one of our interests and filled a niche within the online community. And I just got into cycling and was interested in doing some climbing, but didn't feel like there was any websites out there that gave me the information I was looking for. So I started to come out here to the Dandenongs with a camera and a notepad and start taking notes about what made these climbs great and took some calculated the gradients and the lengths and all that kind of thing. And started building a bit of a database, I guess, of the climbs that you can find around Victoria.
So has the climbing cyclist found a bit of a fan base then?
Definitely seeing a lot of people visiting the site now, and since finishing at uni it's definitely grown. I've added a lot more climbs to the site. As I said, I started off with just the climbs in the Dandenongs, but I've since added climbs from the Victorian Alpine region and also a bunch of others from around the state as well, including the Grampians and some down the Mornington Peninsula as well. So it's a work in progress. And I'm always looking for new climbs to add to it.
So why do you climb? What is it that keeps you coming out here onto the roads?
So I guess it all started back in high school one year when we went on a family holiday up to the Alpine region and we stayed up in a caravan park near Porepunkah. That's right at the base of Mount Buffalo. And we'd taken our bikes up there just to ride around and I decided one day I'm going to ride at Mount Buffalo. And I'd never done anything like that before. The longest climb I'd done before that was 2 or 3 kilometres long. Mount Buffalo is about 20 kilometres long, and so I just did it. It took me about 2.5 hours to do it. I had my dad in the car behind with the trailer ready to put the bike on if I gave up. Had to stop a whole bunch of times, but eventually got through it, and it was just a fantastic feeling. And I think that feeling of achievement of getting to the top and being able to look down the mountain and see that you've gotten to the top on your own steam, that's a fantastic feeling. And that's what keeps me coming out here. And the challenge of finding new climbs to try out, new roads to ride, and new mountains to conquer, I guess, is something that's very inspiring and keeps me coming out.
And I suppose the best thing about finishing a ride like this is that you've got the whole way downhill to look forward to.
Absolutely right. So we've now got about 7 kilometres downhill, and you'll be pleased to know you won't have to pedal once on the way down.
That sounds like a good idea to me. Let's go.
Matt's Smith and Denise on the 1 in 20 climb in Victoria. You'll find a link to the climbing cyclist on the Off Track website. Just head to abc.net.au/radionational and search for Off Track. While you're there, be sure to check out image galleries, download any of the audio from shows you might have missed, or let me know what gets you off track. You can also find me on Twitter. I'm at Joel Werner. But that's all there is for this week. Until next time, bye for now.